So last Sunday, I talked to you, it's a parable-esque kind of scenario that Jesus brought out when he was driving demons out of people. And the Pharisees actually accused him of driving devils out or demons out by the power of the devil. And Jesus gave this great answer. And he goes, listen, you think I'm driving demons out by the power of Beelzebub, but the truth is a kingdom divided against itself cannot and will not stand. And so he goes on and he talks about, matter of fact, let's have a look at it. He goes, but if I drive a spirit out by the power of God, and I drive out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Or again in verse 29, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so we talked about a lot about that last week. We talked about, I think, one of the greatest ingredients for a kingdom divided against itself is gossip. That if you want to look at any marriage, you want to look at any business, you want to look at any sport team, you want to look at any partnership, that a kingdom divided against itself, one of the things that will destroy it quicker than anything else is gossip. Yep. Amen? Repeating things that need not be repeated, saying things that need not be said, suspicion, rumor, innuendo, half-truth is a whole lie. Amen? And so, but Jesus said, well, the Bible says, behold how pleasant and how good it is when brethren dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commands his blessing, life forevermore. I want to continue on this thought about a kingdom divided against itself. We looked at sports teams that did not reach the fullness of their potential because of the inability for certain players to get along. And so you would look on paper and say, this would be one of the best, but something happened within the culture of that team that never caused that team to function at the level it could have or it should have. We looked at it just this week. I was at the LIV Golf Tournament. And by the way, if you don't know this, Mark Leishman, who is an Aussie who lives right here in Virginia Beach, I followed him for about 6 holes. And this is honestly what happened. The first hole, I happened to know him a little bit. And so I went up. He just hit a great shot down the 5th hole, and I was right there beside him when he hit his shot, and I said, good shot, Leach. And he turned around, looked at me, and go, hey, man, good to see you. I said, nice to see you. The fact that he even recognized me was a compliment. And so I'm walking down, and he hits this second shot over the green into the long grass. And Sharon said, Steve, you shouldn't have said hi to him. You put him off his game. All he's thinking about now is you. And I said, sweetheart, I promise you, the last thing on that man's mind is me. What will Steve think of my shot? Now I'm such a loser. And I've said, honey, I promise you, that's not a concern. But she wouldn't let me talk to him ever again. She goes, get away. So then Mark's wife sees us and recognizes and says hi. And we talk with her and some of her family for about an hour as we walked and watched Mark Leishman. But what was interesting about the golf tournament is this. LIV was started because Greg Norman was trying to say, can we mix up the PGA? Can we have something a little bit more of a diversity in the tournament? Can we have a little bit more fun and celebration? PGA had that thing locked up. So Saudi Arabia comes along with all the money in the world. Some of you have opinions about all that, and you are welcome to those opinions. Amen? You are absolutely. I just like the fact that the PGA has been forced to change because it was a little bit too parochial, a little bit too in-house, a little bit too, and I think it's brought about, and we loved walking around just enjoying the golf tournament. I don't know why I said all that, but kingdom divided against itself, I guess, is my thought. Think about Gucci. Gucci, there was such a feud in that family, this is in a company, that it almost ruined the company. They managed to save the company, but the family relationships were gone forever. That's when you put money over family. And I don't care how much money you got. I don't, really, I pray, God blesses you. But when you put money over relationships, there's a problem. Can somebody say amen? Marriages, I mean, it speaks for itself. A kingdom divided against itself. If mom says, this is how we discipline the kids, and dad has a different opinion, and you guys don't get an agreement, I want to promise you, your kids will play that and will actually create a lot of tension in your marriage. You got to get on the same page. Oh, it's very quiet here all of a sudden. All right, think about this. Countries, we looked at England, we looked at, you know, Greece and Rome, and we looked at Alexander the Great and all that he accomplished, and yet a kingdom divided itself. It didn't stand. We think about governments. We think about right here in the United States, and we looked at the Civil War, and thank God Lincoln was able to bring leadership and quoted the Bible. And do you know the verse he quoted? A kingdom divided against itself will not stand. Thank God for godly leaders that bring the Word of God into government. Amen. I think of when I went to Germany and I saw the Berlin Wall. I was there before they tore down the wall, before Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down these walls. And I think about what a kingdom divided against itself will not stand. So we talked a lot about that. We talked about that. If you weren't here, get the teaching, because there was a lot I had to say about gossip and dishonor and negativity, a kingdom divided against itself, and apathy. Well, today I want to talk to you about the solution. And the solution is simply this. We've got to know the power of agreement. And I want to encourage you, in every walk of life, we've got to know the power of agreement. Now, you might think, well, if you're in leadership, it's important that you get an agreement. But I want to tell you, you as an individual, whether you're in leadership or not, you've got to learn to walk in agreement. We've got to agree with the Word of God. Amen. We've got to get our thought life in agreement to the Word of God. We've got to get our convictions in agreement with the Word of God. Come on. We've got to get our values in agreement with the Word of God. We've got to get our decision-making in agreement with the Word of God. And if you want to date well and you're single... Oh, it's getting very quiet here. You got to find out where you have differing views, and can you agree to disagree? I know in Alabama, there are some people, if you are an Alabama fan, who's the other team that they hate? Auburn? Okay, there are people in Alabama that if you're an Auburn fan, they would never date you. There is no premise for a relationship whatsoever if you don't cheer for the same pig bladder. You say, what's pig bladder? That's the insides of a football. It's made of pig bladder. So you are choosing who you will date rather than the wisdom of the Word of God. Oh, it's gotten very quiet in here all of a sudden. We will, and if you want to be somebody who actually understands, we've got to get our light. The Bible says this. Look at Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? I don't know about you, but looking for somebody who chooses the right football team, I think there are higher values to have when you're thinking about who you might want to date. It's very quiet in here. I know some Christians who would never talk. If you're a Republican, you don't want anything to do with a Democrat. I know some Democrats who think if you're a Republican, I want nothing to do with you. I'm thinking, we are first citizens of the kingdom of God. Can somebody say amen? And we got to make sure that we're getting in agreement over the right things. Amen? No wonder Jesus said, you strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Because some of the things that we think are important at the end of the day, when eternity is in perspective, aren't really that important. Okay, all right, we'll keep going. Matthew 18. Again, truly I tell you that if the two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them, but by my Father in heaven. If two or more agree on anything, it says, and you agree about it, and you ask for it, it will be done by my Father in heaven. Now, there is a condition to that. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I tell you to do. So you can't get an agreement over a sin and believe that God's okay with that. Like if you're married and you decide you're going to have a relationship with someone other than your spouse, and you get an agreement with that other person other than your spouse, you may be in agreement, but God ain't blessing that. Come on, somebody say amen. Well, we've gone to God about it. He's okay with it. You didn't go to God. You went to your flesh. Amen. We've got to get in agreement with the wisdom of the Word of God. Amen. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1. And here's a challenge in Scripture. I appeal to you, my brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no divisions among you. Look what Paul's writing to the church of Corinth. And he's going, I appeal to you by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you, hello, the Corinthian church, all of you, Wave Church, listen, agree that there be no divisions. You say, why are you saying that? I've seen some of your social media pages. I see the way you talk to other Christians. Stop getting in disagreement. And if you are in disagreement, you can agree to disagree. There's things Sharon and I don't agree about, but we still love each other. I didn't agree about her driving, but I still love her. I didn't get out of the car. I didn't bail out of the marriage. You say that sounds ridiculous, but I'm just trying to get us a thought here. There be no divisions among you, that you be united. Watch this. How do we do this? That you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported, but to me, by social media, by Chloe's people, that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. Paul's going, I'm hearing you guys don't get along. And he says, I want you to get in agreement. And how do you get in agreement? Here's a thought. You ready for this? That you have the same mind. Another translation says that you be of one mind. So how do we get in agreement? Here's the thought. You ready for this? You're not going to like it. Are you ready for it? It's a very challenging thought. Imagine if everybody else knew what you were thinking. If we were all one mind. Imagine if everybody else had the ability to know what your thoughts were. Now, would you think that thought? That's a good filter. Because you would think, I can't afford to think that thought, because if they knew I thought that thought, I wouldn't think that thought. I wonder if we were to get in one mind, what thoughts we would not allow ourselves to even enter our heart. Amen? Imagine if we all knew what each other was thinking. Look at him. How much money's that guy got? Oh, what did he do to get that money? Well, that's revealing a lot more about you than it is the other person. Come on, somebody. Look at her wearing that dress. How dare she wear? Who does she think she is dressing like that? Or maybe you might look at someone and if you're a guy, look at her. Well, if my wife knew I was thinking that, I wouldn't think that thought. I mean, that's what Paul's saying here. He's going, we got to learn to be of one mind. That's a good filter. If everybody else knew what I was thinking, what I think that thought. That's what Paul's saying, how to get an agreement. And I want to show you, imagine if we were all of one mind. Come with me to Genesis 11, and then after this verse, I want to pray. It says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. And the people moved eastward, and they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, Let us build for ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So the Bible says they all came together and they decided to build a tower to the heavens to make a name for themselves. They're of one mind. Come, let us do this together. They are of one mind. They're of one heart. They're of one purpose. And look what it says. And the reason for doing it, otherwise, we'll end up being scattered. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the people were building. And look what God says. Look what God says. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this. This is God speaking. Then nothing they plan to do will be impossible. Did you hear that? So God says, come, let us go down and confuse their language so they do not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from all there, all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. And that is why it is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. And from there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. What an amazing scripture. Imagine if we could get agreement with each other, one mind, one language, to build the kingdom of God. Not to build a name to ourselves. Not to make ourselves great. See, these people were in agreement, and God himself says, because of the power of their agreement, because they're of one mind, one heart, one language, nothing shall be impossible to them. Now, God's saying that's a quality if you're going to build his kingdom. But it's a negative if you're trying to build a name to yourself and just stop God from doing you to do something. Can you say amen? Imagine if we could be of one mind and one heart in our marriage. Imagine if we could be that in our parenting. Imagine if we can get that kind of agreement in our business. Come on, somebody. Imagine if we can get that in our nation. Wow, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? That we'd be one mind, one heart, one language. And the Tower of Babel is all about, let's build a city for ourselves, a tower that reaches the heavens. Listen, what if we got an agreement to actually build the kingdom of God? What if we, I don't know. I like my worship this long. I don't know. I like this kind of preaching. Well, I don't know. I don't like when he preaches. I only like it when he preaches. I like this. I know people who don't go to church because of any church whatsoever. I don't think it's a good idea to be in church. Well, you might think it's a good idea, but you're just trying to build a tower to yourself. Let's go to the wisdom of the Word of God. Neglect not the gathering together of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. You can be in agreement, but you can be building something that is outside God's plan, God's wisdom, and God's purpose. And anything you build that is contrary to the wisdom, the Word of God, always ends up in confusion and scattering. Come on, somebody. Look what the Bible says. So what is this verse that if we ask anything in his name and we agree? Well, how do we get that wrong? Let me show you. 1 John 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will. Everybody say, according to his will. That was absolutely pathetic. Come on, church. Can we say it in agreement? If we ask anything, watch, according to his... you mean it's going to match up with the will of God? Well, how do I know what the will of God is? I don't know what the will of God is. Read your Bible. Lord, if it's your will, let this person be healed. What a waste of a prayer. Lord, why don't you find out what the will of God is? And then pray with the knowledge of what the will of God is, with the confidence of the knowledge of the will of God is. And this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything in according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we asked of Him. So, Father, I thank You according to the knowledge of Your will. It is Your will that we be healed. It is Your will, by Your stripes we are healed, and You healed them all. I thank You, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that when You died on the cross, it wasn't just for our sins. That would have been enough. But Lord, those stripes that You took, the whipping You took, by Your stripes we are healed. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You will drive out devils in My name. You will drink any deadly poison and it will not harm you. He has made you the head and not the tail. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Come on, somebody. There's a knowledge of His will. All you got to do is get in the Word of God and find out what His will is. Look what James says. James, I love James. You desire, but you don't have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Let me say it over and over again. James is telling you and me we've got to get our ask on. Got to get your ask on. Come on, get your ask on. What was the last thing you ever asked God for? Come on. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. I'm asking God constantly for Sharon and I to continue to walk in agreement. We have different thoughts and views and opinions of life, but we get an agreement. Come on. I'm asking God to bless Wave Church. I'm asking God, come on, for this city. I'm asking God for Hampton Roads. Matter of fact, God says, ask of me and I'll give you nations. Church, look at me. I'm asking for nations. I'm asking God for our heart, the heart of Wave Church, to not get comfortable in where we are, but there's more to do. There's more people for us to reach. Can we somebody say amen? I'm asking God, Lord, don't let me just settle for where I am. Thank You, Lord. There are nations for the taking. Come on, somebody. I'm asking God, and I think about this, and I want to pray for people. I want to pray for you today. What is it you're asking God for? I know what I'm asking God for my own life. Sharon and I, once again, drove out into the mountains of Virginia. Boy, it's beautiful out there. I love driving through the mountains of Virginia. I love it. It's stunning. We drove through Charlottesville. One day, we'll have a little log cabin that will be somewhere that we will always live in Virginia Beach. Don't ever think we're going anywhere. Amen? We will die here in Jesus' name. I'm not wondering, should I be somewhere else? I'm not asking God for another city. I'm asking God for cities, but I'm not asking God for another city. I'm not wondering, did I miss God? I spent 25 years here, and I will spend my next 25 years here. Let me see, I'm 60, 80, 85. I want more than 25. I want 35 years. Amen? But I said, Lord, I'd love to have a little log cabin. Do you think God has a problem with that? As long as that doesn't have me. So long as we have it. And it's a place of refreshing. And it's no time soon that we see that happening. But somewhere in the future, we might have a place we can go to in Jesus' name. God has no problem with that. And I first moved to Virginia Beach. And I said to Sharon, I believe God's going to give us a place to live on the water. I love the water. You got to know me. Sharon loves mountains. I love the beach. I could not live in Texas for all the tea in China. I love Texas. But dear God, if you want to know what hell looks like, live in Dallas, Texas in the summer. It is hell on earth. And anybody who spent any time in Dallas in the summer could shout. Amen. My wife loves to go to Texas to visit Sam, but she doesn't know how anybody could ever live. But we're going there soon because it's our grandson's birthday, and I'm already dreading the temperature. Praise the Lord. Some people love living there. I think their brains have melted. But I love the water. Sharon loves the mountains. Because does God have a problem with that? No. You ask God for a new car, but you ask with the wrong motives, it won't happen. If you don't learn to look after the car you got, don't expect him to give you something better. You're asking God for a new wardrobe, and you don't hang up the clothes you have. Well, if you can't be diligent in the things God has given you, don't expect him. We've got to get in agreement with the wisdom. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Listen to this. Lest your prayers be hindered. Listen, you can be praying God to bless you, husband, all you want. But if you ain't loving her as Christ did the church, you know what God's saying? I don't hear a word you're saying. Not only do I not hear it, I won't hear it. Because you got to learn to love her. Oh, it's very quiet in here. I actually really want to challenge us to understand a kingdom divided against itself won't stand. Amen? I know some marriages sadly end up in divorce. I know they do. By the way, if you look at the church statistics, people say this all the time, and it's not true. People say, well, the church statistics are no different than the world statistics. You look up the real research of Christian marriages, and the divorce rate in Christian churches are way less than that of the world. Way less when we get in agreement with the Word of God. Sharon and I have been married for 41 years. Amen. Well, hang on. I haven't finished yet. And I'm telling you, we haven't always agreed on everything. And there's sometimes when we just go, you know what? What really matters right now is we do get in agreement because we know God can't bless us. Come on. So that means we've had to work some things out. Divorce has never and will never be an option for us. It has never and it will never be an option for us. The thought of that, honestly, hasn't crossed our minds. That doesn't mean we haven't had disagreements, have we, Dale? Over 41 years of marriage, and usually I'm right and she's wrong. She just hasn't realized. I actually almost said that with a straight face. I understand agreement's more important than what I think. I remember one time we did have an argument. I'm talking on marriages on purpose. We did have an argument, and I knew I was right. Any man know what I'm talking about? You know you're right. I said, Lord, even you know I'm right. Could you imagine being that arrogant? But actually, I looked and I'm right. And she's wrong. And it was one of those things that was important we resolved. And I remember saying, Sharon, no. I'm non-negotiable on this one. And I remember going to God, Lord, I know I'm right. God goes, yeah, Steve. Kind of think you are. There's only one problem. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Steve, you're so right. You're full of pride. I went, oh God, I'm wrong in being right. I was willing to make this such a contentious issue that God says, I resist you. I don't know about you, but I don't want God resisting me. I got the devil resisting me. Sometimes I have my wife resisting me. Sometimes I have you resisting me. You wouldn't believe the email some of you send. Some of you are just downright ugly people. Pastor, what are we doing having all those bright colors in the lobby promoting the kids' ministry? Look at all the bright colors. It's promoting the kids' ministry, which is kids with bright colors, but it's the rainbow movement creeping into the church. No, it's bright colors for the kids to draw attention to the parents. There's something going on. Well, Pastor, just come on. If you go to this church, you would know what I think about those views. Amen. You're so right, Steve. I'm resisting you. And I went to Sharon. I said, honey, please forgive me. I'm so proud. I'm wrong. Do you know, I don't like doing that. And the moment I catch myself getting so right that I can be wrong, I go, what really matters is we're in agreement. And I'm not just saying that from a man's perspective. I'm saying a wife should have the same attitude toward her husband. Can you say amen? Church, agreement with the Word of God is got to be our greatest priority. It's got to be. Does my choice and what I'm doing today agree with the will of God? And I want to tell you, every time your thought, a decision is going to take you away from the wisdom of the Word of God, the answer is no. And if you'll just say yes to God and His Word, I promise you, you will live a blessed life. It doesn't always mean you'll be favored by the world. Doesn't always mean you'll be accepted by the world. But I don't live for the favor of man. I live for the favor of God. And you are looking at someone who's holding a microphone today that has been challenged every week by the Word of God to bring my thoughts and arrest my thoughts and my life and my lifestyle and my decisions and my values to bring them in line with God's Word.